puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro of the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now, before we get started this morning, I understand you have an update on last week's topic.
Yeah. So I talked last week about Winnipeg's plague of vacant buildings, and I had tried to find out how many there were. I called the city of Winnipeg weeks ago, but I did not get a reply before last week's episode. Well, it turns out the day after our conversation, they called. And I learned there are presently 462 vacant residences and 153 vacant commercial buildings for a total of 615. So I just wanted to give our listeners an update.
Thank you for that. And yowza, it's a big number.
It is indeed.
Now, what are we discussing this week?
Well, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, is one of eight provincial heritage agencies, or PHAs, that receive government funding for their operations. For the last 2 years, representatives of the PHAs have been meeting to discuss problems that we believe could lead to the collapse of Manitoba's heritage community. So this week, we are discussing these problems and what the PHAs think can be done to correct them.
All right. Now, what are the provincial heritage agencies?
Well, they are as follows. The Association for Manitoba Archives, the Association of Manitoba Museums, Heritage Winnipeg, the Jewish Heritage Center of Western Canada, the Manitoba Archaeological Society, the Manitoba Genealogical Society, the Manitoba Historical Society, and the St. Boniface Historical Society.
Okay, so that's a nice amount of breadth there. Where do we start with this?
Well, back in 1946, the provincial government began to study and to commemorate Manitoba's past through an arm's-length body called the Historic Sites Advisory Board of Manitoba. In the 1970s, it established a group within the provincial bureaucracy called the Historic Resources Branch. Its purpose was to coordinate the government's role in all areas relating to Manitoba's history. The Historic Resources Branch was active through the 1980s and early 1990s. You know, it did things like compiling data. It put up historical plaques. It advised the government and the public on matters relating to history. And it oversaw the dispersal of government funds to worthy projects and organizations.
Among those organizations were the PHAs, right?
Right. You know, most of the PHAs have been receiving government funding for several decades. Unfortunately, since the mid-1990s, provincial support for heritage has stagnated. The staff complement of the Historic Resources Branch was 26 people in 1993, but it has decreased ever since. Now it's somewhere around 8 or 9 people. We aren't quite sure. Given this dramatic erosion in staffing, the Historic Resources Branch simply cannot do the work it used to do. And it recently underwent a name change. Now it's called the Community Programs and Services Branch. In other words, the word history no longer appears, suggesting that history is no longer a priority. In 1986, that Historic Sites Advisory Board that I mentioned earlier was renamed the Manitoba Heritage Council. Well, it has not met that council in over 6 years. During this same period of decline from the mid-1990s to now, the financial support to the PHAs has eroded. The formula for the annual grant that each PHA receives starts with the amount it received last year, then looks whether any reduction can be made. The best that a PHA can hope for is status quo. There's been no meaningful increase in funding for several decades. So with inflation, this means that the effective purchasing power has decreased. The PHAs are being asked to do the same or more work with less money, basically transferring many of the tasks formerly performed by paid civil servants onto unpaid PHA volunteers.
Man, that's a lot of tough blows. What are some of the tasks that these volunteers have to do?
Well, for example, the volunteers of my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, now do a vast amount of research for private individuals, governments, nonprofit organizations, and companies that in the past would have been done by the Historic Resources Branch. We are compiling an inventory of historic sites that in the past was done by the Historic Resources Branch. We do not install plaques like the branch used to do, but I would argue that we help in drawing public attention to Manitoba history in other ways. Well, such as this radio column, our website, our social media, and our journal. And we provide help and advice to the public like the Historic Resources Branch used to do. My overflowing email inbox is a symptom of the problem because on any given day, I receive 20 to 30 emails from far and wide, each asking questions that would require me to spend, I would say, at least an hour or more in answering. And I simply don't have enough time in the day to deal with them all. I mean, I am a volunteer.
Yeah. And you're a busy guy who deserves sleep. Tell me, Gordon, why is this happening?
Well, we don't think the neglect of Manitoba's heritage sector is the result of political or ideological changes in government. It just seems the provincial government does not care about history and heritage, and as a result, underfunds it terribly. You know, I think it's instructive to compare the government support to PHAs in Manitoba with the corresponding PHAs in Saskatchewan. Now, the two provinces have roughly the same population, but the difference in funding of heritage is striking. You know, so take, for example, the Manitoba Archaeological Society. It receives an annual grant from the provincial government here of $11,000, whereas its Saskatchewan counterpart receives $263,000, almost 24 times as much money. The eight Manitoba PHAs together receive about $250,000 in total, while the Saskatchewan PHAs receive over $2 million, or about nine times as much money.
Wow, money talks. That is a dramatic difference.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Manitoba PHAs and their volunteers cannot continue to provide services to the public without a meaningful injection of resources. You know, a particularly dramatic illustration is, again, the Manitoba Archaeological Society. Founded in 1961, the society works with governments, educational institutions, Indigenous communities, and the public. It's been particularly active in the process of reconciliation with Indigenous communities. It hosts annual events, meetings, conferences. It publishes a newsletter and the only scholarly journal focused on Manitoba archaeology. It provides field and laboratory experience to students and professionals, operated entirely by volunteers. You know, recently, for example, they've been doing excavations in southwestern Manitoba where evidence of early Indigenous agriculture is being excavated. Really good work.
So what's their problem?
Well, in the late 1990s, the Archaeological Society office was staffed by two people, a paid manager and a single retired, but very tenacious, volunteer. By 2007, provincial funds could no longer pay the manager, so understandably, they left. The society was notified in 2016 that they had to vacate their office. And so without an office, well, the volunteer retired. They had no staff now. All of the society's equipment, documents, artifacts, maps, books were all put into a storage locker. Phone calls to the society now go directly to voicemail because there's no telephone to receive them, and there's no person to answer them. In 2021, the society's 60th anniversary, their board decided they could no longer afford the cost of the storage locker, so now all their materials are stored in people's basements, in their apartments, in their offices. And yet, despite this, the Manitoba Archaeological Society continues to do what it does on a shoestring budget. You know, the severity of the situation does vary somewhat between PHAs, but all of them have far less than they need to offer the programming and services that the public and the provincial government have come to expect. Volunteer burnout is happening, and the situation can't continue much longer. We need to find a solution.
I mean, Gordon, these are deep-rooted issues. Like, is there a solution?
Well, a few weeks ago, representatives from each of the PHAs met with the Minister of Sport, Culture, and Heritage, the Honorable Andrew Smith, to lay out the problem as we see it and to propose a workable solution. We propose that the government establish an endowment fund for each PHA the revenue from which will be sufficient to enable each PHA to have an office and one paid staff member. And we don't think that's asking a lot, given what we do in exchange. The idea would entail, yes, a substantial initial outlay of cash, but this idea would give the PHAs permanent, stable funding and the means to offer basic services forever. You know, public and private donations to these endowment funds would also enable people out there, you know, the general public who want to support the fine work done by the PHAs to do so. So we think it's a great solution and we really hope the government will jump on it.
Wow. Well, definitely some major food for thought there. Can you give us a hint about next week's episode?
We're going to visit an interesting facility in rural Manitoba, now in a, well, somewhat abandoned state that, well, could be described by the phrase, and please excuse my bad French pronunciation, quel dommage, bleu de fromage.
Well done, Gordon. Can't wait for it.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
And you just heard Gordon Goldsborough with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province, and also some of what happens behind the scenes. And you can see photos of the abandoned places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical Society website. That's at mhs.ca. All you have to do is just click on the quick links button in the left-hand corner of the website. And if you have any information for Gordon or any thoughts on this past segment, including updates on things that we talk about during the show, you can reach him at 204-474-7469.